This is part two of my interview with Heavyfoot. We start off right where we left off. They jump right into the explanation of a song, and we continue to discuss music. This was such a great interview. The guys were so down for anything I came up with, and I did a lot of experimenting during the show, trying to figure out what I liked, what I didn't, with the time that I had, because I didn't know if I was going to have another interview. It's because of this interview, directly because of this interview, that I made up my mind and decided to give the show everything that I can. I found out that I really enjoy the process of getting these interviews and conducting these interviews and talking to these musicians and directors and people. So I want to thank the listener, you, the listener. I also want to thank Heavyfoot. You guys were awesome, and I truly, truly thank you. It was amazing. Now, let's get back to the nonsense. This is Heavyfoot, part two. Guys, so the last song you guys sent me was called Old Soul. You spoke about it briefly earlier. Can you go into a little bit more detail about what it means? Anything that you guys want to talk about that before I start it?
Yeah, Larry, I've always said that song right there. I think Chris looked at you and me and Tim and said, I don't ever want to get old, and I think I'm going to write a song about it.
Well, I think you're one third right. And I'm not going to tell you which one.
I'm the only one old.
I didn't say that. I just said you're one third right. You're making it.
Okay.
No. Yeah. If you, in fact, we made another video for that, and actually, it's kind of like a panel board. There's lyrics that you can kind of follow, and it's just lamenting getting old.
It's a beautiful song. Beautiful song. The words he wrote to that song are just so fitting.
I can't really say too much more about it. It's just a song about dealing with the aging process, and the chorus is, I just don't want to get old.
All right, well, here it is, Old Soul.
In my mind, no, how kind of changed. Oh no. I guess everyone's gotta get old. I can hear the clock ticking now. Back home to the good and the bad, all those memories that I used to have, and my friends, oh, they just drift away.
Old Soul. And for this last round, I would like to ask you guys questions. So first question, can you give me a rundown of what you guys are playing right now?
Good.
Yeah, well, I'm going to go first because Larry's going to take a half an hour. I play out of an Ampeg bass head out of a great cabinet, 4x10, Fender Precision bass. And all I use on it is just a compressor. And I have my custom bass that I had made, and I have a Yamaha bass that I use just to practice songs. And that's basically it. I'm one of those guys that's just happy with what I have.
Do you use one of those as a backup, or do you guys have different tunings or something like that?
I have. I carry the Yamaha with me. Just in case, but now I'll carry my Longhorn bass with me as my backup, and it'll look pretty good sitting on stage.
All right, Larry, you got 30 minutes. Go.
Hi. Thanks, Fred. Okay. Well, let's see. In the practice room, I usually have just a stationary kit. It's a Thomas Star Classic. It's a custom kit. It's numbered. Tom sizes are 10, 12, 13, 16, and I have a custom 18-inch by 18-inch floor tom, 22 kick. It's got a Pro Icon rack, cymbals. I have a lot of prototypes, Sabian prototypes. I have probably my favorite's an Evolution Sabian, which I really like. It's a thin 20-inch. Actually, I think it's an 18. And I get a lot of full resonance out of that. I really like it. I have a Bozio ride, which I really like. And then I've got some Portnoy Signature splashes. I have some Ozone splashes.
Do you mean the Max Stacks?
I do have a Max Stack. I have a mid-Max Stack.
Oh, that's beautiful.
I love it. I mean, I love effects. I have a bell that I use, which I really, really like.
Is that like the Illumi Bell or something like that, the Sabian one?
That's exactly what it is. It's the same sound, but it's before those came out. And those are really nice. In fact, I was thinking about getting a little bit bigger one, but the one I have now is, I believe it's a 6-inch bell, and I use that quite a bit. In fact, you'll hear it quite a bit on the CD as well.
Yeah, that cuts through everything.
It really does, and it's a nice little, it's a filler, and it's a nice accent. I also have, I actually found a set of acrylic octobons, and I have a set of those. I have a set of four. I've got chimes. I have my snare. I've got two of them. I actually have a 1979 Ludwig I just bought it. It's a not a Versalite. I'll have to think about it. But the other one I have is I've got a Portnoy Melanie Max. It's a 14-inch snare, and I like that because it has a two-position strainer on it, so you can have kind of a loose strainer and then a tight.
Nice.
I really like that. And then that's the one that's kind of hard to move around. We did a TV show with it at one time, and it looked pretty good. So, and then of course I got the gong.
Is it shiny?
Yes, exactly. And then the one I usually play on stage is a DW Collector Series. It's a 4-piece, 10, 12, 14, 16 standard 22-inch kick. It's a black satin finish, and then I just kind of pick the cymbals off of those and use that. Third kit I have is an Alesis. It's an electric kit, and I've had that it's not the newer kit, but that's the one that I it's great to practice with. I can practice inside the house and not drive everybody nuts. What I'll try to do is if I can get a song that we've worked on, I'll load it on my computer, load it on my iPod, and I can play along with it and play a little bit.
And all right,
do a little things with it.
On the drum set you used in the studio, was it the drum heads that Peter loved so much?
Yeah, the heads. I use Evans heads, and they came out with a new head. It's all black, and it's I absolutely love it. It's got a real tight down to it, and the thing about these heads is you can tune them down so low and they won't lose your resonance. I mean, they sound great.
Okay, so real quick, do you have a double bass pedal? Do you use
do you
use it for effects, or do you do like straight 16th note kind of fills?
I do very little of those because the music that we play isn't real conducive to that. Normally, I'll just use it for I'll use it for a fill or to finish or something like that. But I don't use it. As far as actually doing rhythms and stuff with it, I really don't use too much of it.
I actually learned how to play double bass before I learned how to use the hi-hat pedal, so it's ingrained in me.
You know, that's real talent. I mean, when I first tried to figure out how to do it, it wasn't easy. I mean, you got to figure out where to start with, but once you kind of get used to practicing it sounds pretty good. And then finally, I just bought and I haven't had a chance to even play it yet. Mapex came out with Saturn 4 series, and I got a brand new set of those, and those are an exotic finish. They're like a burl mist, and they're absolutely gorgeous. And that's another 3 up, 2 down. So I've got 8, 10, 12, 14, 16, 22 kick. And like I said, I have them in the cases. I'm just waiting to get some stands for them because they're black chrome hardware, and I want to get some black stands. So I'm waiting for those to come in.
Don't you feel sorry for him, Andrew?
Oh, I do. I really do.
He doesn't have anything. He doesn't have anything to play with. We call him Larry Bosbio.
Oh, that's terrible.
And understanding. If you have a wife, it's going to buy you a gong. I mean, you kind of.
Well, have you ever just like gotten drunk one night and thought it'd be a good idea to put all your drum sets together and see what happens?
You know what? That takes a lot of alcohol, Andrew, and I don't think they've made that much yet. So.
I've done that. It's not fun. It's terrible.
You know, if I did something like that, that would probably be the end of my wife's generosity and tolerance for my drum sets.
Oh, that's great, man.
Then I'd be knocking on Sid's door. Hey, where's that extra room you
have? All right, so next question. Main influence that you guys have as musicians?
First?
Go ahead.
I think I started out as the heavy metal, and I still love heavy metal. I play in another band that plays heavy metal. So I got to say probably Steve Harris from Iron Maiden, and Ian Hill from Judas Priest. Those are probably my two biggest influences. And then as I started getting into some more blues and some more filling and stuff, I really, really like Glenn Hughes, the guy that played for Deep Purple, and he records a lot on his own. He played with Black Country Communion with Joe Bonamassa, and I just love his style. And, you know, those are pretty much the main one, because you know a blues riff is a blues riff, and there's just guys that can play it spectacular, and I just want to play as good as they do. A lot of times I don't, but you know, they are my influences. But I am really a heavy metal junkie.
Do you play with a pick, or do you play with your fingers like Steve Harris does?
I play with a pick, like Ian Hill.
Oh, really? Do you like the attack, or is it just you couldn't get your fingers to go?
Well, you know, I started playing with a pick, and I just never really progressed into just doing the fingers and stuff. In fact, Peter had me play with my fingers on our remake of Old Soul, and man, it was just weird. I mean, you know, I could feel myself doing it. I did it, but boy, it was just weird.
Yeah, every time I try to play bass with my fingers, my fingers just stop listening to me. And really, it's a travesty. I have some audio recorded from that, and it's a travesty. It's useless. So
that's funny.
So next question. I'm sorry, Larry. Larry, influences, sir.
Well, first of all, that snare was a Acrolite.
Oh,
I was having a brain fart, and I know I wouldn't be able to sleep if I didn't figure that out. let's see. Obviously, Portnoy is a big influence as far as his, not just ability to play, just musicianship, watching him play. He's a show in and of himself, just watching him play. He's a consummate, everything has to be tuned right, everything has to sound right. And I've learned a lot from him. I've learned a lot about tuning techniques and stuff like that, which I never thought I'd be to that point where I'd really care about how my drums sound as far as tuning goes, but it makes a big difference. I like Phil Collins. I love his style. I love power, straightforward drummers. Not necessarily, I mean, Neil Peart, I like him. He's real technical. I really like Vinny Appice. He's done work with Rod Stewart, and he's done a lot of studio work. I really like him. I love Simon Phillips. He, unfortunately, he just dropped out of Toto. He's a huge influence. I didn't like Charlie Watts. He could make even the simplest riff sound amazing, so he's got a big sound to him. There's just so many good ones. It's hard to pick just one, but those are probably the ones if I really would like to be... I don't know if I was compared to anybody, I guess, if that ever happened.
You know, one that just, it amazes me that he is a drummer was Buddy Rich.
Buddy Rich was unbelievable. Yeah, you can just, I mean, even if you're not a drummer, you just look at him and you just, that's not happening.
Well, my favorite thing to watch when I was a kid was an old clip. It was him on the Muppets, and he played the stage.
I remember that one, too.
With your favorite guy, right?
Yeah, Animal. Heck yeah.
Animal's one of my favorite drummers too. I mean, he could do a lot of the things I couldn't do. So you know, he was like my superhero.
Let me tell you a funny story, Andrew.
Go ahead.
Larry has a little animal, stuffed animal that he has on the front of his drums.
Oh, nice.
And I had a golden lab that would chew up anything and everything. And one day I left the band room door open after practice. I forgot, and I go back out there and I look in the yard and I go, what's that? And I look, and my dog had chewed Animal to pieces. And
oh, that's terrible.
So our next practice, I told Larry, I said, hey, Larry, I said, there's a death in our family. And he goes, what? And I handed him the little... stick pin buttons that he had on his jacket. Larry looks over and he doesn't see his animal there. And I said, you go ahead and look on the internet, you buy another one, and I said, I will pay you for it. So if you ever see us live and you see Animal on his drum sets, that's not Animal, that's Son of Animal.
That's Animal 2.0. I was devastated.
Well, you gotta have an animal if you're a drummer. I mean, there's no way. I wear shirts when I play the drums that says it has Animal's face on it, and it says Party Animal. I mean, you got to have inspiration somewhere, and you know, I haven't found an animal that I liked yet, so I bought a shirt that has his face on it.
Well, if you want to hear something sad, I actually have an animal tattoo.
Oh, man, that's amazing. Yeah. I've been trying to get one, but I'm poor, so I can't do that currently.
Let me give you some advice. If you're going to get an animal tattoo, don't go to the $49.99 tattoo place, because it's going to it'll look like Grover. And you're going to be having to explain why the hell you have your Grover on your arm. And no, that's an animal. So pay the extra scratch, get the right one, and that way there's no doubt.
All right, I will do that, man. So next question. CD, you have one CD on an island, okay? What is that CD? For the rest of your life, you're on this island. What is that CD?
Go ahead, Sid. I'll put you on the spot so I can think.
I didn't get the question. What was that again?
You're on a deserted island. You have one CD for the rest of your life. What is that?
Oh, my gosh. I would probably say, Black Sabbath, We Sold Our Soul for Rock and Roll.
That is amazing.
That's the one, man.
I have to go with, it's a tie. I'm gonna have to go with Images and Words by Dream Theater.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because I can still listen to that to this day, and I can tire of it.
Well, that's actually, I can see that now.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
All right, so next question. If you could bring back one musician that's died and learn anything you want from them, you know, jam with them, whatever, what is it and what would you do?
Oh, my, that's a great question. That is such an easy question for me.
Ah.
My hero is Johnny Winter. And
nice.
he just passed away probably 6 months ago. I've seen him so many times. I've done the VIP thing. I'm with Johnny Winter like Larry is with Portnoy. And boy, when he passed away, I knew he was getting old. He's lived a long time to be an albino and all of his history. But you know, still, when you hear someone finally dies, it just hits you. And I've always dreamed of being on stage playing Jumpin' Jack Flash with him, or you know, a good blues song, Texas blues song with him. That's really what I always wanted to do.
I'll have to. It's kind of easy for me too. And it's funny thing is, he's not a drummer. It's Stevie Ray Vaughan, and Stevie Ray Vaughan is just the ultimate in musician. He played for free. He played on, it didn't matter, as long as he was playing, no matter what, he would be happy. And it's funny, I don't know if you're familiar with it, but when he first played at the Montreal Jazz Festival, he actually got booed.
No, I actually didn't know that.
Yeah, if you listen, there's actually the CD out. I think there's probably a DVD, but if you listen to the CD, you'll actually hear booing. He almost got booed off the stage. And it was during that performance that he was discovered by David Bowie. And he ended up playing on the China Girl record. He did the guitar part on it.
Yes, he did.
And I'm such a huge fan of his. I actually was able to see him play in Fresno. He played in Fresno once, and I can't remember if it was at the Wilson or I can't remember. It was one of the older venues. But I've seen a lot of concerts. To this day, I remember that show, and I don't even have to ask him a question. I just sit there and listen to him talk. The experiences that he's had. He's the ultimate for me. I'm just a huge, huge, always been a fan of his.
Well, I've got to answer this one. For me, it wouldn't be a drummer either. It'd actually be Freddie Mercury.
You go.
That guy.
I got my Queen shirt on right now.
See? Queen is amazing. I mean, I recently found out that Live Aid was actually one of the concerts most critics say is amazing. It's like one of the best concerts of all time is the Queen at Live Aid.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, and I it's 25 minutes. I mean, it's nothing. Like,
wow.
It's nothing.
Yeah.
And they come out and they turn their crowd completely around, and they were all for Queen, and it was amazing.
Yeah, he was a legend, no question.
Yeah, I went and saw... I'm trying to age myself. but I went and saw Queen on their Sheer Heart Attack tour and their Night at the Opera tour. And I took my sister, and she was so grateful for all these years past that they recently went on tour with Adam Lambert.
Yes.
And she bought me, her and me, a ticket, and we went to San Jose and saw them. Had absolutely fantastic seats right by the little island where they walked out into the crowd. And I'm telling you, Brian May just looks great. Roger Taylor looked great. His son played drums for a while. It was, you know, Queen is a legendary band. There's just no other way to put it. Just fantastic.
Well, I have to ask you this then. Since you've seen both carnations of Queen, which one, like, does Adam Lambert actually stand up to Freddie Mercury? There's no replacing Freddie, but can he actually hold his own?
And they did the due respect to Freddie. They had a video in the back with him, you know, pictures of it and stuff like that. And Adam sang the songs his way. He didn't veer too far from how the song really sounded. But, you know, back in the day, you know, the set, you know, with Sheer Heart Attack and stuff, that's when they had all the theatrics and the satin shirts and, you know, all the stuff they had going for them. And Freddie's voice is magnificent. Absolutely magnificent. He can bring tears to your eyes. Love of My Life, that's one of my all-time favorite songs.
Yeah, I agree.
That's actually a really good song. And speaking of that, favorite song. It doesn't have to be off the albums you chose. Just favorite song, just the go-to song that you guys have. Do you have one?
A favorite song by an artist?
By any artist, really.
Oh man, boy, that's a tough one there. You know what song? I always think of favorite songs kind of not by so much joy and stuff like that, but something that can really bring an emotion. And the song Hallelujah is by Jeff Buckley. I'm telling you, that song, I love that song. I love that song. And, you know, here I am listening to Iron Maiden and, you know, Marilyn Manson and all this kind of stuff. And I can put that song on and just absolutely just tear up. It's such a pretty song. That's not what you expected, was it?
No, actually, you know what? I don't mean to date you guys at all, but I'm 25 years old, man. And as I age, I start to realize music's subjective. I mean, there is no what is it called? Guilty pleasure music. I mean, if it strikes you, it strikes you. That's what it's for. I mean, and you know, if that song is your epitome of a feeling, then my goodness, man, more power to you.
Yeah.
Oh, I guess it's my turn.
Yeah, it is.
Oh no. Geez. That is such a hard question.
I know it is.
That's a good one. Gosh. It just kind of depends on, well, I'm gonna go ahead and okay, I'll have to say Led Zeppelin, and of course I'm having a brain fart. Kashmir, thank you.
Really, Kashmir?
Yeah, I'd have to say Kashmir by Led Zeppelin.
Nice.
Good pick.
That's a great pick. That's very good.
It doesn't matter how. That's almost beyond a song. That's a production.
I want to answer this question too. Mine would actually be Photograph by Def Leppard.
Really?
Yeah. When I was getting into drums, it was Vinnie Paul that got me into drums, made me want to play it back, seeing the Cemetery Gates video. But what really got me going was the fact that Rick Allen started playing drums with one arm. I mean,
yes, he did.
I mean, if he could do that with one arm, then I can do that with two. I don't care what anybody says. So,
I've seen people not play as good with two arms as he does with one.
I know, he's a monster. I mean, he's a monster on the drums. And he's still playing the drums.
Yeah, I know. He's amazing. That whole band's amazing. They got, if you kind of, and I know you're familiar with them, but there's quite a story behind those guys. Those guys were kids when they started.
Yeah, they were kids, and they were kids when he lost his arm. He was only 21.
I think he was in a, they were on a tour bus, and the bus flipped. Is that what happened?
No, they were actually on their holiday season between records, and he flipped his convertible.
Oh, okay. I knew he flipped something. I didn't
know. He flipped his convertible, and the seatbelt took his arm off.
Wow.
He actually was in the hospital recovering, and he showed the guys that he could do it again with one arm, and he explained the process and everything, and the guys told him, if that's what you want to do, we're going to do it.
That's just an awesome story.
That's brotherhood right there. That's
absolutely
exactly what a band needs to be.
If Sid breaks a nail, and I want to kick him out, so. See ya. Okay.
All right. So, after talking to you guys, I have a couple more questions. One of which is the process for your CD. How do you have you picked your cover art, your design? Can you give us any information about how it'll be set up? CD release date, maybe you can throw at us. That'd be nice. So, can you do that for me?
You want me to do that, Tim?
No, go ahead.
We've got a couple ideas with the cover. We're going to kind of keep that under wraps for now. We're working with a couple of graphic designers that have expressed interest in lending a hand, I guess, so to speak. So we're kind of narrowing in on what we want to do for the cover. We just came up with the title not too long ago. It's been a working title to be announced for months, so we just got that done.
Can you repeat that one more time?
Yeah, we've had a working title up until just about 2 weeks ago, and we finally decided that the name of the CD would be No Waiting on Tomorrow. So, but as far as the artwork and stuff, we're kind of narrowing it in, so obviously we'll have that done within a couple weeks as far as getting the idea down and starting to work on it. I think once we conceive it and get it what we want, then executing it won't be too much of a problem.
Yeah.
As far as the release date, we're hoping that, obviously, as we stated earlier, the 1st of April is the goal that we'll be able to have the master in hand, I guess. And there's been talk that the Gamma Show on April 25th at the Tower Theater would actually also be a CD release party for us. So that's kind of what we're shooting for. It looks like we may be able to pull that off. So if you follow us on Facebook and there are other pages, we'll be able to kind of keep you up to date as time goes by.
All right, and can you tell me the internet presence that you guys have? What websites do you guys have?
We're all over. We have, I guess we'll start with our Reverb Nation, R-E-V-E-R-B, Nation, the last word Nation, and /Heavyfoot. And Reverb Nation is a great resource. They're nationwide. They focus on local bands, and there's actually a ranking for different genres, and we've held the number one ranking probably four or five different times, it's real flattering because it's people who follow us and support us to make that happen. So we're on ReverbNation/Heavyfoot. You'll be able to see videos. There's music links. You can actually purchase an MP3 of the CD or a separate song if you'd like. We also have a blog. I try to keep on top of that, kind of let you guys know what's going on. Obviously, we have a Facebook page, also Heavyfoot. That probably gets more attention than the other one. I'm on that quite a bit. So that also has a lot of events and pictures, and there's a lot of pictures in there from the recording sessions that we've been involved in. So you can kind of check that out. And we'll be making the announcements as far as some of the shows coming up. We have a YouTube video page, also under Heavyfoot. We have probably 10 to 12 videos. Some of them are produced videos. Some of them are live. We have a, there's a gentleman by the name of Dojo Romolo, and he has a local show, and he's done a couple videos for us. In fact, we're getting ready to work on another video from the CD, so we'll be letting you guys know more about that. We have an Instagram account, the Heavyfoot Music. You can find us under that. So we try to keep the bases covered.
You also have a Bandcamp where you can get your music on. Can you give me that?
Yes, we do. Thank you. We do have a Bandcamp account. It's also /Heavyfoot. You can buy the physical CD. You can buy download MP3s. We have shirts. We have decals that are available. And we're also working a little bit more, focusing on some merchandise. So we'll be having some new T-shirt styles and decal styles as time goes by, and of course that will be an avenue where you can pick up the new CD if you'd like. That will also be up there.
Alright, before I go, I gotta ask you this. It says on your bio that you have you're on the radio on 70 stations in 120 countries?
Yes, we there is we're getting to one great resource, again, is Reverb Nation, and we have fans all over, not just locally, but all over the world. I mean, we have fans in Poland, in the United Kingdom, in London, in Australia. Really, in Australia, we picked up quite a few. There is a company called Crank It, and they hand-select bands that they will promote. And we are very grateful to have been selected by them to be one of their featured bands. And in doing that, we've been getting a lot of internet radio and some terrestrial radio play. But because of that, we are now, Get Up is what's being played in rotation, and that's been on, as you stated before, it's on a bunch of different radio stations in a bunch of different countries. So we're really proud of that.
Well, congratulations, man. I read that, and I was really happy to hear that. I mean, you work hard, you get those kind of things, and it's a tribute to you guys actually, you know, doing what you need to and busting your ass and getting it done. So congratulations.
Well, we really appreciate that, and I just want to take a second to thank you. I mean, I think this is an awesome format. You know, situations like this, platforms like this, really help guys like us to be able to let people know what we're all about, kind of listen to us ramble on endlessly. And I just want to personally tell you from all of us, and sorry that Chris and Jim couldn't be a part of it, but we just all really want to thank you for giving us the opportunity to talk to you a little bit here.
Well, I got to thank you guys because you guys are actually the first interview that I'm doing for this idea. And
it's all downhill from here.
Yeah, all downhill. It can't get any better, you know. but you guys are the first interview I'm doing, and you guys were actually one of the first bands that was really, really gung-ho about doing this. I mean, I had asked a couple friends here and there, and you know, they said yes, but time restrictions, you know, I've got to wait on that. But you guys, it took what, less than a week to set this up?
And, we appreciate that. I mean, you're gonna go through all the time and effort. I mean, the least we can do is respect that. No, we're more than happy to do it. This has been a blast.
Well, I got to tell you guys, you also have to thank a gentleman by the name of Wayne.
Oh.
I might have to edit that out in post.
Wayne's a great guy. No problem.
Well, you have to thank him because I actually went on to a Facebook group, and I asked what working bands were around the valley, and he was the gentleman that gave me your name and led me to you guys and ultimately leading to this interview. So I have to thank him, and I would thank him if I were you guys.
Well, I appreciate that. We'll definitely thank him. That's awesome. Yeah.
All right, guys. Cool. Well, it's been an hour and a half of talking. I've had a blast. I really hope you guys have. I thank you very much for all the time and effort you guys have put in. You've been very gracious and humble, and you know, dealing with my lateness was really awesome. So thank you.
Oh, not a problem. I'm looking forward to the other shows too.
All right, guys. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Andrew.
Right, thanks a lot.
And what'd you think? End of the interview. Sad to see them go. I was having fun. I'm pretty sure me and Larry could have talked about Mike Portnoy and kind of did the whole fanboy thing for a little while longer. But, yeah, maybe next time, right? So, you guys like what you hear? Leave a comment, leave a review, something like that. All forms of communication should be open by now. Main one is facebook.com/thelocalmusicrevolution. I'm on there a lot, most of the day. I will return your message, return your comment, maybe even give you a like, I don't know. Really depends on how I feel during the day. Now, for the last bit for the show is the stats. Stats go like this. Number of messages that I sent to get interviews, 50. Number answered, 32. Number of messages responded back with an insult, 1. That was great. Kind of awkward, but great. Number of times I said and had to remove it in the interview, way too many times. You don't really get that until you actually have to edit those damn words out. Number of ink pens I lost in a 5-day period recording 4 interviews, like 6 pens, like I don't know where they went. Number of times my cat tried to kill my shoulder while I was recording an interview, 4 times. You suck, Sabian. Number of times that I was given press privilege, 1 time. It's pretty awesome. I'm not gonna lie, I felt really important during that time. Number of times I got offered a gig because of this, 1 time. Made me feel even more like a man than getting the press privilege. Thank you guys. You really made my days, and that's not sarcasm at all. It's really the truth. I appreciate it. And again, I appreciate all of you being so supportive of this idea, this project, and hopefully what will come out of it. Again, it's our duty to make local artists, local musicians shine. No band you listen to now just popped up and became famous overnight. They were actually locals at one point, and we need to encourage them and back them and make sure that they know how much we love them. So, from the revolution, I am Ogre. Ogar, if you are Zoltan Bathory. And I'll see you next time, guys. Thank you. Take care.